Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Nothing I said was wrong, so.
Okay, nothing I said was wrong is a great defence in court. Partial picture, some facts.
Partial picture and some facts, I think, would sum it up. Yeah.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's Sports Breakfast Show.
Welcome to the show, 8:38 a.m. on this Friday morning. We have the former Irish international Anna Capeless and also the former Welsh Rugby Union and Sevens player and a commentator as well, Philippa Tutiet. Good morning to you both. How are things?
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks. How are you?
Keeping well. Flying it this Friday morning. Thanks a million. Anna, you were probably listening in there to Catherine Dane's research she's done on the tackle height of women's rugby. I mean, quite concerning that you hear people talking about the fact that it's not really taught until a professional level, and even at that stage, not to the best of maybe coaches' abilities. But what do you make of that? Because it's fascinating research Catherine Dane has done.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fascinating. It's very useful. Like, well done to Catherine. Like, we need more and more research all the time into, you know, with how the women's game is growing and how we're expecting it to grow so much. But are we resourcing it properly? Obviously not. So, yeah, it's you know, it is fascinating, but I'm also kind of here like, that actually, you know, that kind of makes sense given just the lack of resources, the lack of coaching and the lack of knowledge, I suppose, that I've come across, you know, throughout my career. I'm sure Philippa will have like kind of similar things to say. And you might have one coach that's like stretched so thinly across a season that, you know, something, and you've got to win games, you know, and coaches are under pressure to win games. Like, where do you find the time to put in this skill work? When I think of, like, you know, the opportunities that, you know, boys, schoolboys have had, like, in the last however many hundreds of years in Ireland, schoolboys rugby, and how good their resources are in terms of, like, skills coaching, gym work. You know, I remember kind of there was an explosion of, like, neck work, like, all of a sudden, because obviously this message went out, like, oh, our necks need to be stronger. So, bang, we were all doing these banded neck movement, like, very kind of, suddenly everybody was doing them, not just like the front rows, for example, because, you know, this how strong your neck is in contact will save, can save your obviously can, you know, save your head or whatever. But you know, that was just something that came. I never did any of that earlier in my career. Do you know, it's just all these things that come, oh God, we need to be doing this and this and this. So it's obviously we're playing catch up a little bit, and it's great that Catherine's research is showing that, because it's like, oh okay, yeah, we need to look at this.
Philippa, what are your views on this? Because it's a topic that has been, I guess, paramount in women's rugby for quite some time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and we're seeing now the initiatives from World Rugby with like the smart gum shields implemented in the men's game. They're also now implemented in the women's game, which is really good, because I don't know whether you found this in the men's Six Nations, but sometimes you saw players being taken off the field and the commentator would say, oh, there's been an alert on the mouth guard. So it measures the impact. And if it's of a severity, that they'll take that player off and check them. And I honestly couldn't even see where the collision had happened. That's the reality of rugby. It's not just the big hits that you see in slow-mo. There's so much going on, especially in the bottom of the rucks and things like that. So it's great to see this now being implemented in the women's game. And you have to acknowledge that as much as it's great to do research on the men's and try and apply some of that data, men and women are completely different. From the simple basics of the circumference of the neck, which is the main strength and stops, say, the whiplash and things like that in concussion, women naturally have smaller and less muscles around their neck. So as Anna was sort of alluding to then, it's only just sort of recently come in that women have started doing work on the neck strength, which is so vital. So look, with awareness comes information, and hopefully it empowers not only the coaches, but the players as well, to take a bit of responsibility to try and prepare themselves best as possible for the game.
Were you taught tackling techniques properly growing up, Philippa, through your amateur?
Yeah, I'm afraid to say I went for my first training session at university on a Wednesday and I played on a Sunday. I didn't even know the rules. I just hung out on the wing, and when two rather large ladies ran at me, I ran around them. Seemed like a sensible thing to do. So no, I can totally, you know, relate to that. And again, it was one coach between the forwards and the backs. He was also the manager. He was kind of also the physio. And it was just about getting bodies out there and fielding a 15 as best as we could. I will say now, you know, that was at Cardiff University. And I only went back there about 2 weeks ago. Now, granted, this is about 15 years later since I was there. But now they've got a first team, they've got a second team, they've got a third. And this isn't even a sports university. So, you know, it is growing. And I hope that my experience, maybe Anna's experience, has very much been left in the past. And now we not only have the players that want to play, but we've also got the coaches that want to be involved in the women's game. So it's not just one person trying to do everything.
Yeah. Is it getting better, Anna, do you think? Are we heading in the right direction?
Definitely heading in the right direction. I get very frustrated with the pace of it at times. It feels like at times we're going backwards, but that's just, you know, that's just my expectations as well, because I've seen how good it can be. But in terms of like what Philip is saying there about like fielding a team, like there are definitely still girls that are like, oh, we need you to play, we have a match on Sunday, would you just come down and play? Like that's definitely still happening in new clubs that are losing players. I'm sure it happens in the men's game as well, but it's definitely a problem in the women's game that, like, in terms of like coaching and resources, like it's always, you know, it's always the, or very often the women's team that comes second in a club in terms of like, okay, do we have a coach for this? Do we have enough numbers? Do we have enough things? Like that's still happening, as much as like, you know, Philippa's example of Cardiff University, like that's amazing, but that's because it started however many years ago. Like it's all, it seems very slow at times, and some clubs do really well and then they fall away. And that's just the natural side of things. But in terms of like that still happening, it definitely does. There's progress, but it's still happening.
The big one, Ireland-Wales this weekend, guys, as well. We must preview the action, of course, ahead of it, because I suppose, Anna, the headlines have been Cliona Maloney's return, named on the bench. We hope to see her, but I mean, it's huge for this Irish team to get that experience back in.
I love Anna's massive smile when you mentioned her name there.
I have a stopwatch here. I was like, how long is it going to take for him to bring up Cliona Maloney? No, I'm joking. Yeah, everyone, it was so funny because last week is obviously a down week and there wasn't much news to be released. And there was, you know, this one little piece from that was released from the IRFU with like one little sentence in the middle saying Cliona Maloney is going to rejoin training. And I was just reading it like... this one little sentence, how huge this is. Like, and personally for me, like this is really, I've this has been huge. Like her last game was also my last game. So thinking about her going back, and like we used to both travel from the UK as well. Like we'd meet at Heathrow Airport, get a coffee, go through, like all in your IRFU gear, you meet the same Aer Lingus staff every weekend. I was just thinking of Cliona going back into that, like, and I can't believe it. Like, I can't believe it's happening. I did think it would happen again, but that she's finally back in there, that her name is named on the bench, that the team now gets to have someone of Cliona's experience there is really huge for this team. And I don't want there to be all this pressure on her. Like, I want her to enjoy it. That's the most important thing now, considering everything that's gone on and considering where the Irish team is at. And it's not an easy time to be an Irish player right now. Seems to be improving since last year, considering like how, you know, there is progress being made, you know, and especially from last year. But to have, you know, just to enjoy it and take the positives and not be like, oh, just happy to be here, but like take the progress like as slowly as we can, or as quickly as we can, should I say, but we know it's going to happen slowly. Just contribute to the pathway. That's all Cliona can do, and enjoy yourself and like enjoy playing with like some of her old teammates. I'm absolutely buzzing for them.
What's the Welsh view heading into this game, Philippa? Because I mean, currently bottom of this year's championship, you had the narrow loss at home against Scotland, heavy away defeat against England, but then, as you say, a bonus point win in Cork could see them go up to third by the end of the weekend. So it's so tight. What's the general feeling around the Welsh game at the moment?
Yeah, it's been a frustrating campaign. I think every year since the girls went professional, and this initially started out with 12 in 2022, and every year more and more girls have been turned pro. They've had more commitments from the union. Everything's just slowly built, and with it has their results. So this was a real frustration for a lot of fans. That opening game against Scotland, that was a must win. And credit to Scotland, by far the better team on the day. So needless to say, this game against Ireland is a must win, not only for, like you say, the points, the potential to come third, which means they could then qualify for the World Cup, as well as going into WXV1, the international tournament at the end of the year, really important. But also, I think, for the Welsh fans, the Welsh public, you know, we've all got behind this team. You've got quality players. You know, they've had a steady coach and a coach that is committed through to the next World Cup. Kind of all the little all the little boxes have been ticked. So this is a must win. This is what the fans, the public will expect and demand now of a team that is fully professional, been into a professional cycle for the best part of 3 years. And they've got the quality to do it. I think maybe they took Scotland a little bit for granted and didn't quite bring their best game. But there was one good thing is there was certainly a lift in their performance against England. I know it was a strong scoreline. England put 48 points on them. That sounds huge. But actually, you look at previous games and Wales were in it. I mean, Wales scored against them and Wales had multiple chances to score against England. They just weren't quite clinical enough. So, look, I think they've learned some really harsh lessons and I think they should be coming to Ireland with some confidence. I'm not going to lie, as a rugby fan, I love seeing Cliona Molony back in it. As a Welsh fan, I wish she could have waited till next weekend, but never mind. But no, I think it's going to be, I think it's the potential to be a good game because Ireland have been building as well, you know?
Anna, Ireland have had a couple of weeks now to linger on that Italy result and they were so close to getting some points on the board. It was scrappy at times. It wasn't particularly beautiful rugby or anything, but a definite improvement in what we have seen from previous years. Is the weekend a must win for them in the context of cementing that growth?
I don't think it's, of course, they'll want to win. And of course, they'll believe that they can in that, you know, the performance against France, like their defense was good, whereas their attack didn't exist so much. And then moving into Italy, you know, the defense kind of fell away while they kind of built their attack a little bit more. If you can kind of put those jigsaw pieces together and just obviously going, you know, back over the last 2 weeks, like work on all those parts together, which you obviously will. I feel like I haven't seen them perform at their best. That's what I want to see. I think it's a bit naive to go in and be like, oh yeah, we'll take Wales. Like if we play at our best, I think that hangs on Wales. I think if Wales continue this kind of like wobbly form that they've had, they're there for the taking. But if Wales, who are really desperate to put in a performance here, because as Philippa says, like this is must win for them, they'll either take that frustration and, you know, use it to their advantage, or they'll let it get to them and Ireland will begin to be able to, like, you know, get into those cracks in the Welsh attack, the Welsh defence. Like Wales are so strong. God, playing Wales is such a physical. It's going to be massively physical. If Ireland are prepared for that, like, and they are able to like rattle Wales, there's an opportunity there. But what I really want to see, I want to see kind of bigger impacts in defence. Like I found versus Italy, like their defence is very well organised, but then they weren't coming off the line, you know, getting up in the Welsh face, like trying to shut down, you know, there's a young 10 there, like how much can they shut down what she's trying to create? How much can they like close off like spaces outside and not get sucked in? You know, counting on one-on-one tackles is really important here because you can't get sucked in the middle by one missed tackle, two missed tackles, and all of a sudden we start to, you know, like crowd the middle of the pitch and leave the spaces out wide. That can't happen. They need to make their one-on-one tackles, which is improving all the time, but also just getting up off the line. Like if they can do that, I don't think a win is going to be like exactly what's needed. I think a big performance, a losing bonus point would be great, but it's not off the cards. A win isn't off the cards, like I said, and that I think that hangs on Wales.
That was interesting, Philippa, what you said a moment ago about the movement and transition to the professional game in the last number of years for Wales. Because as soon as that happens, everyone automatically expects results to improve. But it does, as you say, add a little bit of pressure as well, because all of a sudden results are expected and demanded a bit.
Yeah, and you know what? I've spoken to the girls in camp and they kind of love that. that they are expected to win, because trust me, I've been involved in an era where no one expected us to win, and that is not what you want. You want that pressure. You want people to be, to a certain extent, disappointed when you know you haven't done as well as you could. You know, there's a loss when you're completely outplayed. That's hard to take, but a loss when you know you can play better, that's even harder. And I think that's where the girls are. And, you know, this is the first time in this professional era where they've had that pressure. Before, it's been very much, great, okay, give the girls this, okay, now just do what you can with it, because we know you're in the early stages. And then the second year, okay, a few more players, all right, but you're not all together at the same time, just do what you can. And they've sort of grown with that, kind of being almost the professional underdogs, if you will. Whereas now, they're not the underdogs, they're professional. They're getting all the support that they've asked for. Granted, there's still more work to be done, as there ever is in women's sport, but they have everything they need to perform to the best of their ability. So for them now, it's let's see how you respond. And this is a true sort of a true account of them as individuals and their culture as a team as to how they respond to this pressure.
Where are the big areas of concern for you, Anna, in terms of this Irish team? I remember speaking to Alison Miller after the French game, the opening game, which wasn't a bad performance by any stretch, but the line-out issues kind of cropped up. Like, are there anything there that still concerns you ahead of the weekend?
Yeah, it's the attack for me still. You know, they're very eager to get the ball to the wings, to Bave and Parsons, obviously, who can be so damaging. But I don't think they do enough work in the middle of the park first to open up enough space for Bavin to attack. So that's what worries me. And I read that again this week. They're like, oh, we need to get the ball to Bavin and Katie as well, because Katie's obviously a flyer. Get the ball to them as much as we can. But if you're getting the ball to them too quickly and without having done enough work, you know, it just kind of becomes redundant. So I just think, you know, the responsibility on the forward pack, and like, God, we've such a brilliant back row. Coming up against the quality of the Welsh back row is going to be really exciting. But like, you know, and huge ball carriers, and, you know, Sam Monaghan's back in there, like huge carries from like Linda. We've seen clips of what Linda produced like the last time against Wales. But like, just the relentless work of the forwards to unlock what space they can for the wings is key. But that worried me. I felt like in Italy, they were trying to do that too early. And I fear that that's kind of what they're going to get to again. You know, if you're a forward standing there and you want to make a big carry, are you second guessing yourself because you're like, oh, maybe we need to get the ball to the wing quicker. Maybe there isn't time for this carry, but there's always time. Like if it's quick enough, if you can produce quick enough ball from a big carry, it's always a good option. And I just hope that that's instilled in the forwards, like, you know, do your job, and then we can get the wings into the game, not coming in saying, right, we need to get to the ball to the wing, because, you know, with a full line of defense, we can't do much with that.
And it would be remiss of us to let you go and not ask about La Rochelle and Leinster at the weekend. There's been a massive impact here with Rog bringing the whole team down to Cork, and photos of them in coffee shops and taking pictures of big posters with his face on it. Has there been much of an impact on the other side of the water, or are we just getting far too invested in the Ronan O'Gara versus Leinster saga here?
I think most of the excitement is coming from Cork. But, you know, French rugby is very different to Irish rugby. Like, and even I'll give you an example. Foolishly, I looked at flights after Leinster had won, direct La Rochelle to Dublin. I looked at those flights for a couple of hours. They were really cheap, and I was kicking myself. I was like, why didn't I just book it? But I had to work and stuff. I couldn't be calling in sick for more rugby. No, that was a joke. But if that was a Munster match or a Leinster match, those flights would have been booked out for months in advance. French fans are way more like, you know, this you know, French way of doing things. So there's not much chat around it, even on the bus. So me and my team, La Rochelle Women's, we drove to Toulon last week and we watched the men's game on the bus. And all the French, you know, girls and our coaches and stuff, they watched the match very quietly. And it's me screaming for La Rochelle, like, come on! Like, you know, they're just a French way of doing things, very more relaxed. So you don't notice it so much. It's constant. There's flags, there's like hoodies, everyone is wearing kit, but that's kind of all the time. There doesn't seem to be this extra element of anything because the French are so like, whatever. Cork is definitely way more caught up about this silently or publicly, or should I say. Yeah, so, but I'm very excited about it.
Wouldn't be like Cork to get excited about anything.
Oh, no, not at all.
Not at all. Guys, very briefly, the prediction. So, in a word, Anna, who are you going with, Ireland, Wales tomorrow?
I hate this part. Ireland.
And Philippa, I have a feeling I know which way this is going to go.
Yeah, it's going Wales, and I'm going to say Wales by 15.
Oh,
sorry, everyone.
Okay.
Sorry. I know I'm not going to be invited back now, am I?
No, if you're right, we'll have you back on. We'll have you back on.
Or if you're wrong, we'll have you back on and just have a victory lap to ourselves.
Either way. Anna and Philippa, thanks a million for jumping on.
No problem.
Thank you.
Enjoy. Have a great day.
You too, guys. Thanks a million. Anna Capeless, former Irish international, and Philippa Tudiat, the former Welsh international, joining us on Off the Ball Breakfast.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's Sports Breakfast Show.